Hello, everyone. Welcome to your podcast. And by the way, happy Halloween for those of you that celebrate it. And of course, I want to welcome my co-host, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. Staying warm here in northern Michigan.
Yeah, you're in the late season of fall there. So full on bloom colors, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it looks like the kids are going to be trick-or-treating in snowsuits this year.
Well, that's funny. Well, not actually. Seems a little early for that. But yeah, everyone was just complaining about the hot weather. Now they're going to be complaining about the cold weather. But I don't think I have that issue here where I am. But anyway, everyone, welcome to your podcast. And we've got some stuff we want to go through today. And again, thank you for taking time to listen to the show. Share this with your friends that are podcasting so that they can stay clued in on the Blueberry way of doing things and our perspective. But a couple of things right off the bat. This week, Mackenzie will be at Harvard for the Sound Education Conference. It's this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So if any of you are in striking distance, I think this is a pretty much open event. I don't know if you actually have to pay. If you do, I don't think it's a lot. It's called soundeducation.fm is where the website is to go to. So it should be a good event to attend if you're within striking distance and have some time to go over. Do you know any more details about the conference, Mike?
Well, it looks like on Thursday they're going to have some workshops. Eric Nussman, I don't know how to pronounce his name, from PRX, from their podcast Garage, will be doing a workshop on storytelling and all that good stuff. And that's Thursday, I believe, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. They're going to have a meet and greet, you know, and then just Friday is a conference, and then Saturday's kind of a festival. So sounds like be a lot of educational podcasters out there. And let's see, Dan Carlin and some people from Radiotopia and a bunch of other people are going to be there. So, yeah, it should be good. Mackenzie's going to be there, man in the booth. I believe that's on Friday that the booths are open.
And she's got one session she's going to be in too. So she'll be there speaking. But that's, you know, that's one of these events that kind of snuck up on us. Matter of fact, we were talking about it yesterday. She's like, oh, I got to get stuff out in the mail for the, you know, we've got some inserts for their handout. So I had to get that outdoor yesterday. But anyway, that's cool. That's going on this week. And so you'll be able to check it out. Hey, Scripps. Wow. Big, you know, after, you know, Triton was in play with another podcasting company and that fell through, and almost, you know, within a month or so of that deal dropping, Scripps has announced that they're going to buy Triton Digital, laying out a cool $150 million, and as they put it, available cash. Nice. So this is another big move. Of course, Scripps, Mike, Scripps is aligned with a number of podcasting companies.
Oh, yeah. Scripps owns Stitcher and Midroll and I don't know, a bunch of stuff. And now they're adding Triton Digital, which is one of the leaders in doing programmatic advertising is what I know them for. In fact, we have a deal where PowerPress works with them for our pro podcasters.
So it is an interesting acquisition in that they already had an ad injection system with Stitcher. So we're just gonna have to keep an eye on this, I guess. And what's even more kind of eye-raising is that Scripps had already sold its radio holdings. So it's definitely they're looking to make their hand known in the digital world. And they keep acquiring assets to be a digital company, which is kind of one of those situations where maybe they see the handwriting on the wall that broadcast radio, maybe even broadcast TV is in its waning days. So time will tell.
They still have some TV holdings, but who knows how much longer? You never know. Yep. You know, TV's still a pretty good business to be in, I guess, but I think they're seeing the, like you said, seeing the writing on the wall, that digital is the way to go.
Yep. Well, one thing that we've always get asked is, where should I list my podcast? Where should I have my podcast listed? And of course, my answer has always been is everywhere. And you know, that's a pretty big statement. And obviously in the PowerPress plugin, we have a list of destinations for you to be able to go and submit your shows to. As a matter of fact, I just saw that iHeart has opened up, and I guess this form has been open for a little while. We weren't aware of it, but iHeart now has a public submission form as well. So, you know, for many of you, you haven't been able to submit to iHeart, but you can now with the link. But Mike, you've kind of narrowed down five here that should be right. And why don't you go through the list here and talk about your reasoning for these top five?
Right, and I put them in the order of precedence, in my humble opinion. Apple Podcast, of course, is still number one, because you know, the thing with Apple is that if you're in Apple, you're also in pretty much any other app that uses their API. So, you know, that covers, you know, a whole bunch of third-party apps. But, you know, Apple still is somewhere around 50-60% of the podcast audience for the time being. And then, of course, number two in my list is Google Podcasts. And you're in that pretty much automatically if you get into Google search. So, you know, that one's pretty important. And, you know, my prediction, this is my only, not a company prediction, but my prediction is that Google's going to make a huge dent in Apple's market share. Not that Apple's losing anybody. The whole space is growing, but I think Google's really going to make a dent in the market share for Android users. And then this one surprises some people, but TuneIn Radio would be my number three. And the reason for that is, not that TuneIn itself is a great destination, but TuneIn gets you on all the smart speakers. Amazon, Google Home, Cortana, and that new Facebook thing that came out, which is actually run by Amazon. But anyway, they get you on all those smart speakers pretty much automatically. Because you just have to say whatever the trigger word is, play the latest episode of, and say the podcast name. And if you're in TuneIn, they'll be able to play your podcast. Or
yeah, and it's pretty cool because TuneIn has got tie-ins to really all the smart home devices. I don't know if it's in Cortana, but I would, matter of fact, my Cortana down here just reacted when I said that. But I think they're in. I think they're in every platform, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe so, with the exception of Apple, but Apple's overpriced speaker, you know, if you're an Apple podcast, you're on that. So, you know, so that covers you. If you get on TuneIn, it covers all the smart speakers. You know, and there's other ways to get into the smart speakers. Of course, Blueberry has our MyCast app, and you can also, you know, build your own if you want. But like I said, there's lots of ways to get in there, but that's the easiest way to get in there without you having to do anything other than submit to TuneIn.
Right.
And Stitcher, I put that in there because a lot of people still use Stitcher. Stitcher was, what could be considered the number two app out there behind Apple for a while when it first came out. But, you know, it's been sort of losing market share, but not so much, you know, as we were talking about with Scripps. You know, Scripps is pushing it. So, you know, Stitcher's still a viable place to be. And my last one on my top five would be Spotify. And yes, it's number five and not number two, as a lot of people will try to tell you.
For some people, they make it their number one place they're submitting these days.
Certainly. And it's not bad to be in there. Don't get me wrong. It's great to be in there. But, you know, in my, you know, looking at other people's stats and looking at my own stats and looking at stats for this show and, you know, a lot of shows, Stitcher is a distant, number three or four, you know, in the number of listens, if that.
Yeah.
You know, some people have great success with it. You know, I'm sure it's popular genres.
You mean Spotify. You said Stitcher.
I meant Spotify. Yes, I meant Spotify. Yeah. But what I'm saying, a lot of people have great success with Spotify. Believe me, you know, that there's certain genres that probably do really well there. But for the average podcaster that I've looked at myself, you know, Spotify is number five. And of course, you know, you want to be in the Blueberry directory, and iHeart will have the link in the show notes. Is not a bad place to go if you can get in. I don't know how curated they are.
I don't know either. But I submitted a handful of shows, and we'll see if they have, well, no feedback, so we'll see if they actually get listed or not.
Right. Yeah, I had one listed in there from before through another company that added me just for the heck of it. But I have two other shows that I submitted, so, and I haven't heard anything back. So actually, I submitted this show as well. If you did, then it's in there twice. But
right. Well, again, so, you know, again, I always say you should be everywhere. And, you know, if right out of the gate, you know, when you're first starting, or if you haven't submitted to one of these, you need to. Now, Google Podcasts is a little weird on the uptake because really there's no true submission location. They kind of index your show and it becomes available. So it's just a matter of about being indexed. I don't know. There's really no way to kickstart the process over at Google Podcasts, is there, Mike?
Not that I know of. I mean, you can get into Webmaster Tools or whatever it's called now. I think they call it something else. And, you know, submit your show to get it indexed, or submit your website to get it indexed quicker. But, you know, I don't think there's any trick to get in there quickly. Google's usually pretty fast on new shows. I've seen them take, you know, a couple weeks to index a new website.
And, you know, we're able to predict what your link will be on Google Podcasts because we've reverse engineered the key that they use to, you know, once they find your podcast and map your URL, your feed URL, we're able to pre-predict what your link will be. So sometimes people will click on that link and say, hey, I'm not on Google Podcasts. And we have to come back and tell them, hey, you just got to wait. Once Google Podcasts index your site, then it'll be up and available. But there's really no submission. So right. You will get picked up. But if you're using PowerPress or using one of our tools, don't worry. You'll get indexed. And that's the key. Hey, one thing I want to just, I guess I lost my train of thought. I was going to remind everyone that we have a new voice over at PowerPressPodcast.com from a writing standpoint. And one of our longtime writers, we've changed, I guess for better words, changed, not direction, but we have a new writer on the site. And I think that you're going to see a new type of articles coming out from us, a lot more help and make you think type of articles that are available. So if you haven't been over on PowerPress Podcast lately, you definitely want to go over there. Example, the article that we published last week was Podcasting Tips, Repurposing Your Podcast Content. It's how to talk about taking certain segments of your content that was popular and then repurposing it. Then just a whole bunch of other types of stories talking about whether you should do video, you know, all these types of things that maybe you've had on your mind that will allow you to make a bit bigger impact with your show. And one of the articles that got a lot of traffic recently was with podcasting with your kids. And I know that's a controversial topic for some, but these are all things that we're putting up on PowerPress Podcast right now is largely for you to get to thinking about how you can grow your show in different ways. And this repurposing your podcast content from the most recent published post last Wednesday is really hits at home. Now, the article that we've coming up on this Wednesday, I'm really excited about as well. It's I'm not going to reveal the subject, but just tune in over at PowerPressPodcast.com website to take a look at these articles.
And of course, you can get this podcast and Mackenzie's PowerPress Podcast over there as well. The subscription links are on the sidebar.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about some stuff going on in support, Mike. The Apple crackdown continues, although it seems to maybe have slowed a little bit. I don't see as many people taking the hit. I think it's hit or miss.
Well, I think people have gotten the word, and I'm getting a lot of questions now about how to change the title because a lot of people don't remember how they set their title in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So how do they do that when they... are in PowerPress? How do they change the title of their show?
Right, yeah. Right there in PowerPress in the settings, of course, you got to be in the advanced mode, which I suggest everybody is. But once you get in the advanced mode of PowerPress settings, you'll see there's a bunch of tabs across the top. And the one that you want to change the title in is the feeds tab. And it's just called feed title. How appropriate. And another thing, you know, I didn't write that in the notes here, Todd, but another thing is feed description. Even if you put the Apple subtitle and the Apple description in, you still want to fill in the feed description. And the reason for that is Spotify. I mean, we're talking about Apple, but Spotify, that's the number one reason people have not gotten kicked out. What Spotify does is they leave your link active, but they don't show you anything. And they don't tell you anything about it. So you'll go there, and of course, there'll be nothing there. Nine times out of 10, it's because you didn't fill in that feed description. So make sure you fill that out as well. And also, another thing that Apple, of course, gets mad about is the author tag. And that's in the Apple tab of PowerPress settings if you're using PowerPress. Of course, whatever you are using for your feed should have all these settings available as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's been a real popular question here lately. I probably get two or three of those a day.
We should probably in PowerPress change that to feed/show title. That might eliminate.
Yeah, I think it does say that actually.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it says feed title, and then in parentheses it says show title. So
that's a place to change it in PowerPress. And of course, if you're publishing on the Blueberry Publisher, which some of you are. And just go into feed show listings and you'll be able to get to update there as well. There's a menu item to change your title there as well.
Under the feed section there in the dashboard, yeah. I think podcast settings, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff there.
Yeah. You know, Mike, one thing is kind of interesting is that every once in a while I'll get a phone call. Yesterday, my phone rang and if I don't know who it is, I typically just don't answer it unless it comes in on the corporate line. Is what we have, folks. We have a 877 raw voice is our dial-in number, and they can select me as an option in the call chain. And when it comes into my phone, I'll know it's a raw voice call. But sometimes people call me on my private phone number, and what really isn't private, it's gotten out there over the years. And so yesterday I saw a call come in that I had no idea who it was, and I kind of ignored it. And about the 10th time the person called me, I said, oh, someone's got an emergency somewhere. And I picked up the phone and wow, I got an earful. And what it had been was, and again, it was, you know, the crux of the story is I listened to this screaming at me for about 5 minutes with, was really not even know who the individual was, what the show was, or when they canceled their hosting service. But this individual was freaking out that we had taken their media offline. Now, we're very generous. When a show goes, when a show cancels, and we understand sometimes people's credit cards expire, or, you know, there's a whole litany of issues why people cancel. Sometimes people don't realize that they're canceling their podcast service even and cancel it, then say, oh my God, what did I do? But we typically give everyone a really significant grace period before we pull their media down. But this individual had his media pulled down and his account taken offline. And he was flipping out because he thought that even though he just paid one time, that we were supposed to take care of his media for, you know, infinity. And I tried to explain to him nicely after getting, and believe me, Mike, I'm a retired sailor, so I can give as well as get. And, you know, this, I was pretty impressed. I actually told him, I congratulated him on his litany of language. And I explained to him, I says, it's, you know, it's like the electricity company. You don't pay your power bill. At some point, the power company's going to turn your power off. And that earned another round. So just remember, folks, if you cancel your hosting, at Blueberry or anywhere, you know, any of the other hosting companies, whatever the policy is, your media will be taken offline. With us, though, you're lucky. If it's not been more than a year, you can come back to us and say, hey, can you turn our media back on? And we can. But anything outside of a year, it gets very, very, very difficult. So when you cancel your hosting, your files will go offline. And I think that probably 99% of people know that. But I thought it'd be worth just kind of sharing that fun little story.
Yeah, and I figured I saw you mention that. I thought, well, that'd be good for the show here. So anyway, and the next thing on that I had on my list is, for some reason lately, I'm getting a lot of questions about people wanting to do multiple podcasts. And at Blueberry currently, to do multiple podcasts, you must have multiple hosting accounts. And just wanted to clear that up. I mean, it's not like, you know, we can't provide you with separate statistics and another RSS feed and all that stuff, you know, all on one account. And so that's why the rule is that if you have, you know, two shows, you need two accounts. And if you have more than a certain number of accounts, it probably makes financial sense to go with our pro hosting, which then you can have as many as you want for $10 a piece.
Yeah. And plus the base amount of $100 per account. So if you, you know, if you have two or three shows with us already and you're paying more than $100 already monthly, you need to reach out to us because we might be able to help you out a little bit here, because the pro hosting is really a great plan for those of you that are building a network or have four or five shows and need four or five hosting accounts. And more people are doing that these days.
Yeah, and the pro plan also is going to have some additional features coming up pretty soon.
Yep. So, Mike, you got some advice to podcast owners, and this is becoming more and more evident as this space continues to grow.
Yeah, and in the case of the one that I've been dealing with here lately, it was a church group or a ministry, I guess you'd call it, and somebody had set up their podcast 10 years ago, and of course that person no longer worked at that ministry anymore, so they wanted to move to Blueberry from, I don't remember where they were hosting before, but I think they were hand-rolling their own feed and all that, but they wanted to do the move, and it's been a little problematic getting the feed to change because they were on FeedBurner. And, of course, the person whose Google account that's attached to is no longer available, and they don't know who that is. Also, their Apple Connect account, Podcast Connect account, they don't know who submitted the show originally. And they might have been in there before people submitted shows, but they can't claim the show on Apple because they don't have access to the feed burner to get access to their main feed or whatever feed that is, so that Apple will see the code, you know, and it's just a vicious circle. In other words, if you got people, in quotes, taking care of your stuff, make sure you have all the logins and passwords for everything, you know, FeedBurner if you're using it, your media host, your WordPress site, your web host, pretty much everything, because if that person that has all that information leaves the company or the group or whatever, you know, you still have to have that information. So make sure that if you're in charge of a podcast or it's your podcast or your group's podcast, that you retain all that information. It makes it a whole lot easier in the future to change things around when you want to.
Yeah. And I think the most important thing here too, for those of you that are on the corporate side, is have your sysadmin create a catch-all email account. You know, if you're using, you know, almost all companies have the ability to do this today very simply, and have them create a, you know, podcast@yourcompany.com, and then make sure that all of your accounts, that especially if you're corporate, that all of your accounts are tied to that catch-all account. So that way, if someone does leave, at least the email address chain can grow, or you can re-add someone in there with their regular address to take over the duties. It truly becomes problematic. And, you know, this group, they have a long established set of subscribers to their show. And Apple's pulling the FeedBurner feed, and they can't get into FeedBurner to make the, they can't even change the feed burner feed to
they,
our,
they don't even know what feed burner is pulling from. That's even worse.
That's incredible. So, you know, I think internally, if that was us, we'd be able to figure that out by looking at some of the metadata, but they just don't have their information. So what's really going to happen here is if they are, and of course, FeedBurner has great technical support, right? And I'm being sarcastic here because I don't think anybody's home. So how do you recover a user account on FeedBurner when there's no customer support? So they're in a real jam here. Now, if they could have put that link, that link that Apple provided them in the original feed that's feeding FeedBurner, they might be able to get access to their Apple Podcast account. And if they can, then all is not lost, because then they can request with Apple to change the media URL manually for them, and then they would get it. They would be able to bypass not having the FeedBurner login. So, but really that key for them now, Mike, is they've got to find out where that source feed is and drop that code that Apple provided into them so that they can work it backwards. And I understand they're frustrated, but
that still won't catch all of the subscribers because, you know, if you change your feed at Podcast Connect, it just changes future subscribers.
Right.
It doesn't really change the current ones.
That's true. So, you know, they've got a real dilemma here. They're going to have to go back to the old way they were hosting and say, hey.
And we moved.
You know, we've moved, because they may have to submit a whole new feed to Apple and have a secondary or second listing. So it's bad on all fronts. And I think any of you that are listening to this can understand the agony that they may be going through. So save yourself that agony and don't let anyone hoard or, you know, get these passwords in a vault. And I always say that having them in some sort of an app that a couple of people have access to. But at the same point, this also having a catch-all email address prevents a disgruntled employee who set these accounts up from delisting your shows or canceling everything.
Sure, or at least you can get it back.
Yeah, and you have that ability, if it's a catch-all email address, to monitor that employee's incoming so that you have an idea what's going on.
Right. It's like, for this show, it's yourpodcast@blueberry.com, and all the accounts are under that email.
That's right. So it's definitely a, you know, we've seen everything, and this is just one more example. All right. So we've beat a dead horse there. So I think we're about wrapped up here, Mike. Folks, if you want to reach out to us, Mike, how is that contact?
As I said, yourpodcast@blueberry.com. Of course, you can contact me directly, mike@blueberry.com. And I'm sure Todd has a similar email.
Yep, todd@blueberry.com. And of course, you can follow us at Blueberry on the interwebs. And of course, be sure to follow our Blueberry page. We put a lot of information up there. We have a Blueberry group as well. So there's Blueberry everywhere on social. So we want you to participate in that and ask us questions. And I think that the main thing, though, is if you have not already hit that subscribe button, make sure you do so. And you can do that right on powerpresspodcast.com. But I want to thank you for listening to us today. And then we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. Don't forget, Mackenzie's on the opposite week. So two different shows for you to listen to: the Blueberry Podcast, and of course, this podcast, Your podcast. All right, everyone. Thanks. We'll see you next time here. Take care.
Happy Halloween. Bye-bye.